Eventually, and after some deliberation, he took the black sports bag from under the bed and put socks into it. Underpants, some T-shirts, his passport, his wallet. He was wearing jeans, sneakers, a thick sweater. He remembered the way the girl who called herself Dor had said goodbye. The way she had paused, the way she had said she was sorry. "You knew," he said to the empty flat. "You knew this would happen." He went into the kitchen, took some fruit from the bowl, put that into the bag. Then he zipped it up and walked out onto the darkened street. The ATM took his card with a whir. "Please enter your PIN number," it said. Richard typed in his secret PIN number, D-I-C-K. The screen went blank. Then, "Please wait," it said. Somewhere in the depths of the machine, something grumbled and growled. "This card is not valid. Please contact card issuer." There was a chunking noise, and the card slid out again. "Spare any change," said a tired voice from behind him. Richard turned. The man was short and old and balding, his scraggly beard a matted tangle of yellow and grey, and the lines of his face were etched deeply in black dirt. He wore a filthy coat over the ruin of a dark grey sweater. His eyes were grey as well, and rheumy. Richard handed the man his cash card. "Here," he said, "keep it. There's about £1,500 in there, if you can get to it." The man took the card in his street-blackened hands, looked at it, turned it over, and said flatly, "Thanks a bunch. That and 60p will get me a nice cup of coffee." He gave Richard his card back and began to walk down the street. Richard picked up his bag, and then he went after the man and said, "Hey, hang on. You can see me." "Nothing wrong with my eyes," said the man. "Listen," said Richard, "have you ever heard of a place called the Floating Market? I need to get there. There's a girl called Dor." But the man had begun nervously to back away from Richard. "Look, I really need help," said Richard. "Please?" The man stared at him without pity. Richard sighed. "Okay," he said. "I'm sorry I troubled you." He turned away and, clenching the handle of his bag in both hands so they hardly shook at all, he began to walk down the high street.
"Oi!"
hissed the man. Richard looked back at him. He was beckoning.
"Come on, down here, quickly, man."
The man hurried down some steps on the derelict houses at the side of the road, garbage-strewn steps leading down to abandoned basement flats, and Richard stumbled after him. At the bottom of the steps was a door which the man pushed open. He waited for Richard to go through and shut the door behind them. Through the door, they were in darkness. There was a scratch and the noise of a match flaring into life. The man touched the match to the wick of an old railwayman's lamp, which caught, casting slightly less light than the match had, and they walked together through a dark place. It smelled musty, of damp and old brick, of rot and the dark.
"Where are we?"
Richard whispered. His guide shushed him to silence. They reached another door set in a wall. The man rapped on it rhythmically. There was a pause, and then the door swung open. For a moment, Richard was blinded by the sudden light. He was standing in a huge vaulted room, an underground hall, filled with firelight and smoke. Small fires burned around the room. Shadowy people stood by the flames, roasting small animals on spits. People scurried from fire to fire. It reminded him of hell, or rather the way that he had thought of hell as a schoolboy. The smoke scraped his chest and he coughed. 100 eyes turned then and stared at him, 100 eyes unblinking and unfriendly. A man scuttled toward them. He had long hair, a patchy brown beard, and his ragged clothes were trimmed with fur, orange and white and black fur, like the coat of a calico cat. He would have been taller than Richard, but he walked with a pronounced stoop, his hands held up at his chest, fingers pressed together.
"What? What is it? What is this?"
he asked Richard's guide.
"Who've you brought us, Eliaster? Talk, talk, talk."
"He's from the upside," said the guide.
Eliaster, thought Richard.
"Was asking about the Lady Door and the floating market. Brought him to you, Lord Ratspeaker. Figured you'd know what to do with him."
There were now more than a dozen of the fur-trimmed people standing around them, women and men and even a few children. They moved in scurries, moments of stillness, followed by hasty dashes toward Richard. The Lord Ratspeaker reached inside his fur-trimmed rags and pulled out a wicked-looking sliver of glass about 8 inches long. Some poorly cured fur had been tied around the bottom half of it to form an improvised grip. Firelight glinted from the glass blade. The Lord Ratspeaker put the shard blade to Richard's throat.
"Oh, yes, 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 yes," he chittered excitedly. "I know exactly what to do with him."